content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Anna Dean Silver from the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Out in the Garden. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from the Timber Press Guide to Vegetable Gardening in the Southeast by Ira Wallace. And today's program starts with November, the end of hurricane season. Winter in the Southeast can be really fickle. In the mountains and upper south, a summer-like day may be followed by snow the next. Temperatures are more moderate in the lower south. But rapid temperature swings are not uncommon. Hurricane season officially ends in November, and severe weather is rare this late in the year. But storm warnings should still be heeded. Gardeners in the lower south are blessed with enough light to keep planting at a slow pace all winter, at least 10 hours of daylight for most of the winter. Late fall is the best season for growing cool weather veg crops and realizing dreams of garden fresh broccoli, frost-touched collards, crisp green, tender greens, and sweet winter carrots. And to do this month, to plan, prepare, and maintain, make notes of last plantings and harvests. And for me as well, that's what I'm going to write up, everything that sort of went wrong with my first try at gardening. But just write it down so you'll remember next year. Get soil tested, if not already done. Consider plans for next year as you select winter cover crops. Set up low tunnels and cold frames for overwintered greens. Lay out row covers and hoops for quick response to frosts. Check and use tomatoes and peppers brought indoors to ripen. Finish spreading lime if soil test indicates the need. Add needed amendments before mulching any empty beds that will not be covered cropped. Harvest frost sweetened kale, cabbage, spinach, and other brassica greens. Monitor temperature in cold frames on sunny days and open as necessary. Sheet mulch, lasagna style, to expand the garden if desired. Cover lettuce, spinach, and spinach burns below 10 degrees Fahrenheit, so be careful of that. Celery, zucchini, squash, and Chinese cabbage using hoops. Mulch thickly, cover with row cover, or finish harvesting all the carrots. They're hardy at 12 degrees Fahrenheit. Beets, celeriac, kohlrabi, turnips, rutabagas, and rutabagas are okay to 20 degrees Fahrenheit, and winter radish, which are hardy to 20 degrees Fahrenheit. Wash and store. Cut asparagus tops with weed whackers or machetes and remove all ferns. Cut fall raspberry canes after leaves have dropped to the ground with pruners. Weed and mulch matted a row style strawberries and wait to fertilize in the spring. And here's what we can sow and plant. Sow rye or wheat cover crop in empty garden beds not needed for early planting. In the lower south, there's still time to sow more lettuce, kale, spinach, radish, arugula, and other hardy greens. In the lower south, plant annual row strawberries if you haven't already planted them in October. Sow short day onions to overwinter in cold frame. Plant garlic, shallots, and perennial onions if not done in October. Free trapped garlic shoots from over thick mulch even when 50% have emerged. Weed fertilize and mulch grapes, rhubarb, blueberries, asparagus, and raspberries. Take vine cuttings and transplant new plants if needed. In the Upper South, we take a rest from planting while the ground is frozen or too wet to work. But we are still active in the garden, tending and harvesting the crops we planted earlier in the fall. When I look out at all the beds of winter roots, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, lettuce, leeks, and greens, it seems like more than we can eat. I have to remind myself, what you see is what you get. We'll resume planting when the days start to lengthen in mid-February. But until then, our Virginia gardens are outdoor pantry. Mulching is key. All of our crops and empty beds are well mulched or covered. Careful attention to proper harvesting, maintenance, and protection is essential for bountiful harvest throughout winter. Winter garden awareness. Preparation for Arctic cold fronts and tropical storms begins with choosing the right site for the winter garden. You can give your plants the best chance of surviving weather's worst onslaughts by providing excellent drainage and protection from the harshest winds. Avoid local cool air pockets prone to hard frosts. Gardeners throughout the Southeast can enjoy winter greens, roots, salads, and vesicas where frosts come very late in the year, many will still be harvesting fall-planted tomatoes, peppers, and other tender crops through the holidays. Extra cover needed. When the temperature drops rapidly, mulch is what counts. You should have already applied a thick layer of organic mulch last month while cleaning up the garden. This month, keep extra bags of shredded leaves, bales of hay, and row cover on hand to get through short periods of extreme weather. We sometimes cover tender plants with evergreen boughs and pile leaves up right over the plants. Floating row cover or tarps can also cover plants or hold the fluffy mulch in place through an emergency until normal temperatures return. Row cover can rest directly on plants, but the tips of greens may be damaged during hard frosts if they touch the row cover. Put row cover on plants before frost starts. It can freeze to the ground, metal and itself, and will tear easily and be hard to unfold without damaging it if it's already frozen. Row cover will last for 2 to 4 years if stored dry and out of sunlight when not in use. To keep row cover from blowing off, use ground staples or heavy sticks, or just bury the edges of the row cover with garden soil. When I lived in Canada, snow was a helpful warming blanket that insulated my winter garden from the worst weather. Not so the wet, fleeting snow of the southeast. It is too heavy and breaks the plants, causing more damage than the cold. So we use hoops with our row cover for tall plants like broccoli or blueberry bushes, and we try to brush the snow off these plants before it melts into a heavy, icy mess. We like to make low tunnels using number 9 wire every 4 feet, or pre-cut 76-inch commercial hoops made from number 10 wire for many of our winter greens. We start with spun polyester row cover and sometimes add an extra layer of slitted row plastic when the temperature is consistently cold in December. On really warm days, you may need to pull up one side for additional venting. I find these low tunnels really help maintain the quality of lettuce, broccoli, and Brussels sprouts in our Virginia garden, giving me bragging rights at both Thanksgiving, and Christmas dinners. Planting the winter garden in a naturally sheltered area protects plants from drying out when the wind pulls water out of the leaves and stems. Roots aren't able to take up water from frozen ground, so the winter garden is very susceptible to being dried out by wind. Ample winter rain usually keeps plants well hydrated, but if it is unseasonably dry, make sure to keep your winter garden watered. Harvesting the winter garden. Growth slows to a halt by mid-December, so we time our fall gardens to be mature by late November. Knowing what to harvest for indoor storage and what can be left in the outdoor pantry is a bit of an art. Some fast-growing vegetables like mizuna, pak choy, and turnips are best quality when harvested before hard frosts. Cold, hardy greens such as spinach, kale, and arugula can be harvested throughout the winter if they have grown large enough in the fall. Later plantings of cold, hardy greens can begin the winter half grown. While not large enough for winter eating, these late plantings can survive the winter with adequate protection to provide the earliest spring harvests. Sauerkraut and kimchi are traditional fall ferments. Not only are these stable, space-saving storage solutions for fall brassicas, fall also provides the cool weather that lets you easily make these on your countertop without much fuss. We prefer to bring our root vegetables indoors to store, lest we have critter damage when we dig them up come spring thaw. Our winters are warm enough that we have to worry about more pest activity than gardeners in the Northeast. If you have space to store root crops inside, and that's your safest choice. If you don't, mulch them well and cover them and harvest as needed. Do bring in any overwintered root crops by March or earlier, before they begin flowering, which causes the roots to be woody and tasteless. Carrots are our favorite winter root crop. It is extraordinary how much sweeter they are when maturing in cold weather. Apply 4 to 6 inches of mulch to prevent the roots from freezing and to allow harvest as needed. Break off the tops when harvesting carrots, parsnips, and other root crops so that the greens don't regrow and cause the roots to shrivel. Rinse off dirt before storing. Store roots in your refrigerator crisper for best quality. For rutabagas, radishes, and turnips, gently feel in the dirt with your fingertips to find the plants big enough to pull and leave the little ones to continue growing. Try to harvest radishes before the first hard freeze. They're delicious with frosts, but cannot take deep soil freezes. If you have limited gardening space, greens are the most productive crop for winter growing. Harvest thinnings as the plants grow. For greens, not roots, when the plants have leaves at least 1.5 inches long, thin the rows so there is a strong plant every 6 inches. Once the plants have matured and you've thinned to their final spacing, only harvest the outer leaves. The small young inner leaves will replace them. Harvest no more than 30% of each plant every 10 days in mild weather. Wait longer if the weather is harsh. The morning after a frost, don't harvest plants while they're still frozen. Wait for the temperature to rise above freezing and for the plants to thaw out before harvesting. Winter greens start to bolt as the weather gets warmer. Arugula is usually the first to bolt, often in February, and the other greens follow suit by April. For the best flavor, finish harvesting each crop before it begins to bolt. In reality, this means you can bring in what remains of the crop as soon as you see the first flowering stalks or break off the first few and cross your fingers. I always try to leave some plants to flower as early spring forage for pollinators, as this is a time of year when flowers can be rare. Arugula flowers and the flowers of many other mustard greens are tasty and attractive. And now we have a lazy, no-dig lasagna garden bed. This is how to make it. To expand or enrich your garden without tilling or digging, consider making a lasagna bed. This modern version of sheet mulching lets you build garden soil in place by adding layers of organic material that will cook over a few months and result in rich, fluffy soil. One of the reasons that this method has become so popular is that it's easy. You build the bed on top of the grass or weeds just where you want the new bed. If you have crabgrass or quack grass or other tenacious perennial weeds, you'll want to dig them out before starting or be prepared to battle with these same weeds for years to come. The first layer you put down, the foundation layer, can be layered brown corrugated cardboard or layered stacks of 6 sheets of newspaper overlapped. My experience is that it is best to go with cardboard and use a double layer over the whole area, lest our vigorous weeds laugh at you. Next, you wet this layer thoroughly to keep it in place and get the decomposition going. The weeds and grass will break down quickly because they are smothered and deprived of light by the cardboard and other layers above it. This cardboard layer also makes a dark, moist place to attract earthworms who will loosen the soil as they move through it. You build the beds by adding alternate layers of green and brown materials using anything you would put in a compost pile. The possibilities are endless. One friend even used a cotton futon mattress as a layer in an herb bed and an old wool rug for another. You can use any organic materials, shredded leaves, grass clippings, vegetable scraps, or even weeds. See the and we've read that in March. If you go back to the March program, you'll see that list. Building a lasagna bed uses a lot of organic material, so it is a good idea to gather materials before starting. Fall is an easy time to start because there are so many dead leaves readily available. Here's the steps. 1. Start by mowing or trampling down existing vegetation. Consider removing quackgrass or crabgrass first. 2. Lay out the area of the bed. Make it narrow enough to easily reach the center, about 4 feet. 3. Cover the area completely with overlapping layers of brown cardboard. 2 layers is good. Thoroughly wet down the base layer. Add alternating layers of green and brown organic material until the bed is at least 24 inches high. Generally add 3 inches of brown per 1 inch of green. 6. Use a sprinkler or a seasonal rain shower to thoroughly wet down the pile. And 7, optionally cover the pile with 2 to 3 inches of finished compost or shredded leaves. Some people cover the pile with a tarp to keep in the moisture and reduce nutrient runoff. And 8, by spring, you should be able to directly plant into your new bed. And now we have a little bit of time, and we'll go back to our discussing of each vegetable with the edible A to Z. And we have cabbage next. Cabbage is a staple garden crop. Is eaten fresh, boiled, stir-fried, or fermented, from microgreens to coleslaw to sauerkraut. It has a place on the table of every good Southern cook and a place in most good Southern gardens. Cabbage is widely cultivated as both a spring and fall garden standard throughout the Southeast. It can also be grown during the summer in the mountainous areas, plus it stores well under the right conditions. And growing. Cabbage grows best in rich, moist, well-drained loam with high fertility. Choose varieties appropriate for the time of year. Early varieties require more fertility than mid or late season varieties. The plants are shallow rooted, so irrigation may be necessary. Cabbage needs a steady supply of water and full sun throughout the growing season. The heads may split if a heavy rain follows a long dry spell without irrigation. A thick mulch layer will hold moisture, control weeds, and extend the harvest. In spring, start your transplants 4 to 6 weeks before moving them out to the garden. Sow 1/4 inch deep, 2 to 3 seeds per container. Germinate at room temperature and then reduce the temperature by growing, for growing. After the seedlings emerge, choose the most vigorous one and cut the others at the soil line. Harden off before transplanting in mid-February to late March. Space 12 to 18 inches apart, in rows 3 to 4 feet apart. Fall cabbage is transplanted or direct seeded 6 to 12 seeds per foot at a depth of 1/4 to 1/2 inch. Maintain adequate soil moisture during germination. Control diseases by using clean germination soil mix, inspecting your seedlings regularly, rotating all cabbage family crops, and maintaining good garden sanitation. To control pests, use floating row cover immediately after transplanting. For an early season treat, succession plant microgreens in flats. Grow at 60 degrees Fahrenheit or cooler and maintain even moisture by misting and harvesting. When the head of cabbage is fully formed, it's ready to harvest. After harvest, select the strongest side sprout and allow it to develop into a second, smaller head. Harvest microgreens with scissors or a sharp knife at 10 to 15 days, 1.5 to 2 inches. Use like fresh sprouts. And there are several varieties. We have the Early Jersey Wakefield, which is a 64-day planting, with its distinctive 3-pound cone-shaped heads. It has been an early season favorite in the Southeast. We've run out of time for today's episode of Out in the Garden. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Anna Dean Silver, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Out in the Garden is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. And thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.